Good afternoon, and welcome to yet another instalment of Twitutin. It's the sketch show that looks at what happened in history this week and then makes little or no attempt to see how that relates to the world we live in today. Which was originally its brief, but none of us care about that anymore. No one's noticed. Probably best not to mention it at all. Really, this show should be called That Was Then. Then everyone would have to shout out, Twit! What did you call me? You can see the problems with that name. Perhaps the reason no one has noticed us straying from our brief is due to them being distracted by our ice-cold house music band. It's Christian Riley and Guillotine.
That was then, this is now, history. It's just one flipping thing after another.
Hey, Christ, good to see you. We haven't been socialising much after the shows this series.
Yeah, not at all, really.
So I wondered, after the gig, whether you wanted to come out with me and try and have sex with some of the easily impressed, vulnerable, borderline mentally ill women in the audience.
Well, it does sound tempting when you put it like that, but I can't really do that because I'm married.
You? Married? No way. Not Christian Riley. Not the Christmeister. Not Porcus Christi. Not Riley, ace of hairy pies. You've just shattered a million hearts, including mine. When did you get married?
Last weekend.
Oh, right. My invite must have got lost in the post or something.
No. It was a private affair. It was only family and really close friends.
Yeah, it was a brilliant do. Thanks, Christian.
You invited TV's Emma Kennedy?
But she's very good friends with my wife.
Are you?
Yeah, me and Shaddy are like that.
Shappy.
Well, yeah, Shaddy's my nickname for her from way back.
Did you like the present me and Danny got for you, Christian?
Yeah, we've always wanted a fondue set.
Oh, good.
Wait, Danny and Dan, my underlings, were there too?
Sort of.
But I was working, I was doing the DJ.
Nice one. Yeah, and Dan was working as a waiter.
Oh, thanks, you're going to come up with something cool for me. Yes, that's it, not as a guest at
you
all.
You were working, you still bought presents, you chumps. God, I'm glad I'm not you two saddos.
Oh, wasn't it brilliant when Robert McLennan got into that fight?
Oh, that was great.
Robert McLennan, I know that name. Hold on, he was the leader of the SDP who took over from David Owen on the 27th of August 1987. He was our guest on show one of the series in the Do You Remember Where You Were When X Happened feature.
Do you remember?
No, stop that.
Where you were.
Stop that. Don't try and change the subject through song. I hate it when that happens. You only met Robert McLennan 4 weeks ago. You invited him to your wedding, and not me.
Yeah, but me and Robert McLennan, we just really hit it off last month. And you know, he's one of my best buds now. Honestly, Rich, I didn't just invite everyone in the world I've ever met apart from you.
It was an excellent buffet, Christian.
Thanks. Please don't take it personally.
I don't mind. It's good you're married. It just means more easily impressed and vulnerable, borderline mentally ill girls for me.
Do you not think that you should maybe think about settling down now, Richard? I mean, what are you, 40-odd?
I'm 39.
Yeah, so 40-ish.
39, it's different. Hey, Christ, how old are you?
29.
Then I understand your point. I mean, I think when you're maybe 19, 20, you think it's a good idea to sleep around with lots of different people. But you get to your age, you realise it's more satisfying to be in a long-term monogamous relationship with someone you have genuine feelings and love for. But then you get a bit older, into your 30s, and you realise, No, I was right, first of all, but too late now, got kids, you know, you'd have to divide up the CD collection. Better just stick out this misery until the blessed relief of death. Good luck with the marriage, though, Christ. You think no one would marry me, don't you?
I'm saying nothing.
If I wanted to be married, I could be easily.
Oh, yeah? You want to make a wager on that?
Yeah, OK. I bet you £100 I'll have found someone to marry me by the end of the show.
OK, you're on. Good luck.
But would anyone like to marry me in the audience?
It doesn't count if it's one of the easily impressed, vulnerable, borderline, mentally ill women in the audience.
Oh, come on.
Or men.
What chance does that give me? That's my only hope. Anyway, history. On the 26th of September 1580, Francis Drake, or Walter Raleigh, one of the two, completed his circumnavigation of the world. Now, I have a 2-1 in history from Oxford University, and even I can't tell you which one of those fellas is which. Which one discovered the potato? No one knows. Which one was playing bowls when the Spanish Armada arrived? Not an historian alive who is sure. Who put his cloak over the puddle for Judy Dench? Can I do a 50-50, Chris? There's no point. Walter Raleigh and Francis Drake will be the two names left up. It always happens. Chris Tarrant is evil.
Rich, you know the company you make this show also make Millionaire? I mean, Chris Tarrant essentially pays your wages. It's probably best not to slag him off.
Chris Tarrant's brilliant. And I'm sure that all the stuff going on in his private life at the moment's just a misunderstanding. Take him back, Ingrid. He's a good bloke.
You're making it worse.
Well, I have to say, I do really fancy his wife, though, with her little gap-toothed smile. Maybe I could marry her. She's free now. You know, she'll be loaded. Who wants to be a millionaire? Me, that's who. Ingrid, then...
You're just digging yourself in deeper, Herring.
Oh, OK. But anyway, no one knows what was done by Raleigh and what was done by Drake. No one. Shut up, they don't. No one knows without looking it up. And then the minute they've put the book down, they're not sure again. Which is why I'm using this history platform to make a revolutionary suggestion. Walter Raleigh, Francis Drake, from now on, why don't we just make that the same bloke in history? I mean, that would just make history a lot easier, wouldn't it? It would just make it cooler for the kids. Everyone would be able to understand it. And then if that works, I suggest they cross out all the boring stuff that happened before 1066 and replace it with Lord of the Rings. 1065, Frodo destroys the ring. 1066, Harold shot in the eye. Seamless. The 25th of September 1764 saw the birth of Mutiny on the Bounty mutineer Fletcher Christian, the only character in history to have a surname for a first name and a first name for a surname. He's the only one. Stop trying to think of others. There aren't any others. That's... He's memorably been portrayed on screen and stage by hunks including Errol Flynn, Clark Gable, Mel Gibson and David Essex. And yet this is how Captain Bligh genuinely described the real Christian.
His knees stand a little out, and he may be called a little bow-legged. He is subject to violent perspiration, particularly in his hand, so that he soils anything he handles.
Not such a hunk now, is he, old bow-legged, sweaty-handed Fletcher Christian, soiling stuff with his sweat? Not quite how he's been portrayed by Hollywood, though David Essex got that sweat thing spot on. I'm sure it was an accident, but it's brilliant. I can't believe this aspect of Christian has been ignored for so long. He didn't sweat through his armpits or forehead like a normal person, but through his hand. Just one of his hands. This strange one-hand-based perspiratory condition must have had some bearing on this famous mutiny. Here's what really happened.
That was then, this is now.
What really happened?
In 1787, the legendary Bounty set sail for Tahiti, carrying its load of breadfruit plants, part of insane Captain Bligh's plan to grow bread as a fruit, presumably planting bits of bread in some soil and just hoping for the best.
Make haste, men. Bring those breadfruit plants aboard. We set sail at noon.
We are working as hard as we can, Captain Bligh.
It's not good enough. Work harder.
There's no need to shout.
Wait. What's up with these breadfruit plants? They're all soiled with some kind of sticky, salty liquid. What is this stuff? These breadfruit plants are ruined.
Oh, sorry, Captain, that's my hand sweat.
Oh.
I suffer from a medical condition, which means my hand sweats quite badly.
Yeah.
I did give you a note from my mum explaining I shouldn't be made to touch anything that might get contaminated with my sweaty hand sweat, but you screwed up the letter and threw it back in my face and called me a pansy.
What's your name, sailor?
Oh, how do you do? I'm Christian. Lovely to meet you.
Don't shake my hand with your weird sweaty hand. I'll catch sweaty handitis off you. And tell me a surname. We don't use first names on board ship.
Christian is my surname. My Christian name is Fletcher. Although, in a way, you could say my Christian name is my surname, as my surname is Christian. Just my little joke.
Yeah. Shut up. Fletcher or Christian, whatever your name is.
And as the journey went on, breadfruit slash sweat tensions rose.
Right, time to chart today's course. Ah, my maps and compass are all soiled with sweat. Have you been touching these, Fletcher, Christian, or whatever your name is?
No.
Don't lie. Who else would have got hand sweat on my stuff? And my breadfruit plants aren't growing.
Look, I've been trying to tell you, Captain, that bread is made by bacon.
Shut it, you slippery-fisted buffoon.
But when the ship arrived in Tahiti, Fletcher Christian found a brave new world awaiting him.
Oh, Fletcher, you are so handsome.
But I am bow-legged.
Oh, in Tahiti, bow legs indicate strength.
And my Christian name is a surname and vice versa.
But all Tahitian names are stupid too.
And, oh, look, I've got an excessively sweaty hand, which soils everything it touches.
Oh, this is good news. Due to a strange genetic quirk, Tahitian women's breasts have no sweat glands in them and are consequently too dry. Oh. You can use your sweaty hand to moisten my bosoms. Oh. And then when you're done with me, you can moisten the bosoms of every woman on the island.
With my sweat?
Mm. Or with any other unguent that comes to hand.
Oh, Brill, get in! Let's get married!
After 5 months of sweaty fondling, the Bounty went back to sea and tempers started to fray.
Now, Fletcher, Christian, whoever you are, that's the third telescope that slipped out of your hands on this voyage. Drippy fingers.
No, that's enough. I've had enough of you mocking my hand.
Oh.
It's discrimination. I am disabled and I could have equal opportunities on you if it existed. Yes, I may have one sweaty hand.
And bow legs.
Yeah.
And a back to front name.
Look, you're making this worse.
Yeah.
But judge a man not by how moist and soiling his hand may be, but by his actions and his deeds. Give me that sword, sailor. Oh, damn this sweaty hand. It's time for a mutiny. Are you with me, men?
Not really, no.
No, the captain's right. The whole sweaty thing's a bit gross.
I really like Captain Bligh. He's harsh, but fair.
Yeah, look, yeah. I'll tell you what. If you mutiny with me, you can come back to Tahiti and help me massage unguents into the native girls' bazoomas.
He makes a good case.
Mutiny!
Mutiny! Mutiny!
I'll get back to civilization, Fletcher. I mean, oh, whatever. And I will tell everyone about your sweaty hand, and you'll go down in history as naught but a sweat-handed nincompoop.
No, I won't. No one will remember that. They'll just remember that you were a div and then name a chocolate bar after your ship. Oh. So check on, Captain Bligh. You am a twat.
Stop shaking hands, sweating on me.
And that's what really happened. Even a bow-legged, sweat-handed mutineer with a surname for a Christian name and a Christian name for a surname could find someone to marry him. Why am I still on the shelf?
Well, maybe you should widen your horizons a bit. Gay marriage is illegal now, you know.
I'm not so desperate to get married that I would marry a man, Emma. Honestly, the blokes who do that are just giving up too easy. You'll find a nice girl if you're prepared to wait, Elton, but no. Now it's time for a song, if Christian's wife will let him sing one.
She says it's OK as long as I'm home by 2 to mow the lawn.
Bad luck, Marido. Under the thumb. Got to do what the wife says now, haven't you, mister? No freedom for you, Chain. Doing the washing up, doing the garden. Oh, I feel sorry for you, Marido. I'm so alone. Please welcome, it's Felcher Christian himself, Christian Riley and Guillotine.
On the 25th of September 1897, the first British bus service began running, and this opened us up to a whole new world of collective experience. Well, I chanced upon this fella on the bus the other day, and he looked at me and grinned, and I just didn't know what to say. And he told me in a voice too loud of all the things he had to do. And right there and then everybody on the bus knew. He was a man with learning difficulties. He was a man with learning difficulties. He was a perfectly pleasant kind of guy, but if he asked you where you lived, you'd end up having to lie, cause something about it made you feel uncomfortable. Looked at my guitar case and said, have you got a guitar? And under different circumstances I might have said, no, it's a machine gun, ha ha. But I kept my face in neutral and said, yeah, you're right, it's a guitar. And everybody stared straight ahead because they'd cottoned on. He was a man with learning difficulties. He was a man with learning difficulties. And nobody knew his full story. Was he born like that or was it a head injury? And if you asked him, probably wouldn't understand the question. And when he got off the bus at the next stop, we felt this weird mix of guilty for feeling relief, but mostly relief. And then another other chap sat down directly after that. He looked at me and grinned, and I grinned right back. And everybody who caught his eye grinned away at him too, because right there and then, everybody on the bus knew he was a man with a facial deformity. He was a man with a facial deformity. And nobody knew what to do. We couldn't look away, but then stare at him and be rude. This is the last time that I visit Wales.
Christy O'Reilly and Guillotine there, needlessly offending several groups of people. On the 27th of September 1998, Google was established by Larry Page and Sergey Brin in a garage in California when the friendless, girlfriendless nerds got together to help catalogue the exciting new information superhighway.
Well, gosh, okay, this new internet thing is so confusing. Millions upon millions of pages about either Star Trek or child pornography and nothing else.
Yeah, it's an amazing invention.
But how can I be sure that when I'm surfing for something about Star Trek, I won't accidentally go to a page with child pornography on it? That would be, you know, annoying.
Yeah, it is very easy to accidentally go to those child pornography sites.
Yeah.
As I'm sure many celebrities will discover in the future.
Yeah. And not all of them can just claim they were researching a book that then never comes out. And conversely, it would be terribly upsetting for some pervert on the hunt for child pornography to accidentally find himself looking at blueprints for the Delta Flyer from Star Trek Voyager.
Yeah, that could really put you off your stroke.
I know. Why don't we invent a kind of search engine that will be able to tell the difference between Star Trek and child pornography, ensuring there will never be a Star Trek / child pornography mix-up again?
Yeah, and maybe if one day there are sites that aren't about Star Trek or child pornography, it will be able to identify those as well.
Right, well, I hardly think that's likely, Sergey. The internet will forever remain the province of the nerd and the nods.
No, Larry, I could foresee a day when it won't be just Star Trek and child pornography, a time when people will also be interested in looking up, say, Babylon 5 and pornography featuring adults.
That will never happen.
And maybe there'll be online shops where people can buy Star Trek and Babylon 5 merchandise and more pornography and maybe even order a pizza.
Pizza? On the internet? Now I know you're dreaming, Sergey. Our new invention, Google.
Nice one.
Thank you. We'll sort the Star Trek from the child pornography, and that's all it will ever do. I estimate we can make upwards of $57 for our work.
Whoa there, Larry. Hold your horses. How the hell do we set up an internet search engine?
That's a good question. I'll just ask Jeeves.
It's time for a new feature on the show now, entitled What Would Happen If What Happened Then Had Actually Happened Now Instead of Then? On 28th of September 1066, William the Conqueror landed at Pevensey in Sussex with his forces. But this week I'll be asking, what would happen if William the Conqueror landed in England now instead of in 1066? For a start, he'd probably arrive on the Eurostar, so he'd be annoyed at the cramped seats and the way too expensive tickets. And then he'd have to face passport control, who might be a bit suspicious.
Hello, sir. Welcome to England. Name?
William the Conqueror.
The Conqueror? Of what?
Oh, nothing. Yeah, I just like conquers, that's all. I'm not really planning to conquer England, if that's what you're thinking.
And are you travelling with a large group today, sir?
Not that large. No, about 7,000 men and 3,000 horses. It's...
Stag party?
Yeah, something like that. It's certainly not a massive invasion force.
And the purpose of your visit to England, is it pleasure or business, sir?
Bit of both, hopefully.
And are you carrying any sharp objects?
Just got an arrow, that's all.
You could have someone's eye out with that, sir.
I could have someone's eye out
with that, you could. So what are you doing here?
I'm here to research a book.
What, like Pete Townsend?
No, not like... It's called The Doomsday Book.
Oh, sounds a bit sinister.
No, not really. It's just like a guide to England. It's sort of a bit like Bill Bryson crossed with the Da Vinci Code. We're really nice blokes, us Normans. Look, we've brought a load of wool with us to knit a tapestry.
Tapestry.
That's the kind of blokes we are, not threatening, mainly knitting is what we're mainly interested in.
Well, you know, fair enough.
Yeah. So can we come through? Do you want to taste my baby milk to prove it's not poisoned?
No, that's just weird. Look, you seem all right. You're a bit French, but that's not illegal. Shame.
Yeah, no.
And you haven't got beards or rucksacks or dark skin, which is all we've been told to look for. So go on, in you you go, but don't let me catch you starting any battles to bring back over 2 litres of spirits.
No way, of course not. Come on, boys, let's all go to Hastings.
Oh, I won't bother with Hastings, it's rubbish. The only thing that's ever happened there was the Battle of Hastings, where William the Conqueror... Mm.
Yeah, well, that's kind of the problem with this concept, where it falls down. The present really wouldn't exist without the past. It's all, you know, if we change the past, the present. Time travel doesn't really work at all. Even if you're the bloke from Quantum Leap and you jump into other people's bodies without them asking, which, let's face it, it's a bit perverted. Now time for a woman who needs no introduction because you can hear her mawkish squawks coming from miles around. Yes, it's time for Return of the Mawk. Return of the Mac. TV's Emma Kennedy.
Hello, Rich. Lovely to be here as ever.
So, nearly the end of the series and still struggling to find you a format.
Yes.
Personally, I think the best format for you might be a coffin with you in it dead.
Right.
With a stake through your heart just to make sure.
Maybe in series 3.
No, hopefully.
But for now, I'm returning to that crowd-pleasing favourite, Births, Deaths and Marriages.
Oh, I could never have enough of that.
but there's a twist, because this week it's stupid name, Birth, Deaths and Marriages.
Stupid name, Births, Deaths and Marriages, you say.
Yes.
How intriguing. That must be how you got on TV with ideas like that.
It's time to find out which people with stupid names got bred dead and wed with TV's Emma Kennedy.
Hello. I'm TV's Emma Kennedy. And welcome to TV's Emma Kennedy's Stupid Name, Birth, Deaths and Marriages. It's time to discover who got germinated, terminated and sperminated this week in history. And praise be to the arse-spanking midwives, because 28 September 1967 saw the birth of Frank Zappa's eldest daughter, who we cruelly christened Moon Unit Zappa. She got off lightly, as her siblings were called Dweezil Zappa, Armit Zappa, and Diva Muffin Zappa. Now, those are proper stupid names for kids. Are you listening, Paula Yates? Probably not, thinking about it. But scarcely is the ink dry on our birth certificates before our name is carved upon our gravestones. Here's who started pushing up the daisies this week in history. Tostig Godwinson, the Earl of Northumbria, which was a useless place to be an Earl of, hence his nickname, Tostig of the Dump. But let the dead bury their dead, for the rest of us have a livin' and a lovin' to do. And as no funny name people got married this week in history, let us celebrate the 2006 wedding of Christian Riley and his beautiful bride, Shaggy.
It's Shappy.
No, Shaggy was our nickname for her at school. Because she looked like the Scooby-Doo character. Not for any other reason. I'm not making this any better. Move on. But there is one person with a ridiculous name who we will never be celebrating in the marriage part of this format. Richard Herring. That's his real name. What a wazzock.
There's still plenty of time for me to become betrothed, Emma. Funnily enough, I reckon this is true. I could have married Moon Unit Zappa. I met her in Montreal in 1997. I interviewed her for a TV show. Mm. She was a really brilliant woman, really funny, really clever. Mm. Afterwards, she made a point of giving me her phone number. And when I look back at the interviews, I can see she obviously fancied me. But some of the time, I had no idea. How could I have been such a fool, Emma? If I'd only realised, then I could have gone out with Moon Unit Zappa. I could have married her. That'd have shown Christian. It's too late. She's married herself now with a baby called Mathilda Plum.
Mathilda?
Yeah, they're obviously keeping the stupid name thing in the family. I could have had a ridiculously named child with a ridiculously named woman and given her my own ridiculous surname. Why was I such a blind idiot?
That is sad, Rich, but you are an idiot. And like all idiots, are doomed to die sad and alone. And it's a shame that you didn't have sex with Moon Unit Zappa, because if you had done, you would have had a moon on your stick. Do you get it? It's like what you used to say on the TV programme you're on 10 years ago.
But I wish we'd stop doing this. That's over. It's embarrassing me, all right? I don't want to bring it up.
Yeah.
That stuff is in the past. Mm-hmm. I've moved on.
Yeah.
I'm doing something different now.
Scarcely.
It's a bit
and
different.
And nothing you have ever done subsequently is as good as that moon on a stick thing.
I've done
and when you
talking,
die, that is all that will be written on your gravestone, along with the words, "No, it was his mate who wrote Jerry Springer the Opera, not him."
Wait a minute, Emma. I almost forgot. You're a woman, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
And you are unmarried, a spinster, if you will.
Well, I have been described as the mork spinster by some, even though I am not morkish.
Do you ever wonder if the antagonism and the verbal sparring that goes on between us is actually happening because we secretly love each other?
No, I do it because I hate you. Do you secretly love me?
No. But if I get engaged to someone in the next 3 minutes, I win £100 off of Christian. I'll give you £50 if you say you'll marry me.
£50? I'm on TV. That kind of money might excite a radio personality like you or Jonathan Ross. But I don't prostitute myself so cheaply.
£60?
You're on.
Yeah. Bad luck, Christian. I'm engaged to be married. You owe me £100. Yeah,
congratulations, Rich. I will give you the money the second you're married.
What?
It's the last show next week. I think they should get married on air. What do you think, audience?
No. We can't take the words of these vulnerable, borderline, mentally ill idiots.
The public have spoken, Rich.
There's literally no way out of this, I can see. Tune in next week to witness the legally binding wedding of me and TV's Emma Kennedy. It promises to be the wedding of the year. This should whip up some media interest, like when Kylie married Jason on Neighbours. More probably about as much media interest as when Mrs. Mangle married John Worthington.
Who?
Yeah, exactly. Good afternoon, listeners. Thank you very much.
This Is Now was written and performed by Richard Herring, TV's Emma Kennedy, Danny Robbins and Dan Tetzel. Though I was hardly in it this week, was I? The music and stuff was done by Christian Riley and Guillotine, who were Damien Caldwell, Martin Kane and Charlie Round Turner. It was produced by Anstey Elizabeth and was a Celador production for BBC Radio 2.